नमः। अभ्रमं भंगरहितं अजडं विमलं सदा आनंदतीर्थमतुलं भजे तापत्रयाभहं मिथ्या सिद्धांत दुध्वांत विध्वंसन विचक्षण जयतीर्थायकतनिर्भासतां मनोहृदंबरे अर्थिकल्पितकल्पोऽयं प्रत्यत्यगजकेसरी व्यासतीर्थ गुरुर्भूयाद् अस्मदिष्टात सिद्धये तपो विद्याविरक्त्यादि सद्गुणौघाकरानां वादिराजगुरून् वन्दे हयग्रीवदाश्रयान् पूज्याय राघवेन्द्राय सच्चिधर्मरताय च भजतां कल्पवृक्षाय नमतां कामधेनवे दुर्वादिध्वान्तरवये वैष्णवेन्दीवरेन्दवे श्रीराघवेन्दुगुरवे नमो चिन्तयाळवे आपादमणिपर्यन्तं गुरूणामाक्तिं स्मरेत् तेन विघ्नाः प्रणश्यन्ति सिद्ध्यन्ति मनोरथाः। हरिः ओं श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। वी आर् डूयिङ्ग् दि इङ्ग्लिश् सेशन् फार् विष्णु सहस्रनाम टिल् द ऋषिदेवता छन्दस् अण्ड् स्टार्ट्। अस्य श्रीविष्णो दिव्यसहस्रनामस्तोत्र महामन्त्रस्य श्रीवेदव्यासो भगवान् ऋषिः अनुष्टुप् छन्दः श्रीमहाविष्णुः परमात्मा श्रीमन्नारायणो देवता श्रीलक्ष्मीनारायणप्रसाद सिद्धते जपे विनियोगः। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ विश्वस्मै नमः। ॐ विश्वं विष्णुर्वषट्कारो भूतभव्यभवत्प्रभुः भूतकृद्भूतभृद्भावो भूतात्मा भूतभावनः भूतात्मा परमात्मा च मुक्तानां परमागतिः अव्ययपुरुषस्साक्षी क्षेत्रज्ञोऽक्षरैरेव च योगो योगविदां नेता प्रधानपुरुषेश्वरः नारसिंहोपुश्रीमान् केशवपुरुषोत्तमः सर्वशर्वशिवस्थानुर्भूतादिर्निधिरव्यः सम्भवो भावनो भर्त प्रभव प्रहुरीश्वरः स्वयंभू शम्भुराज्यः पुष्कराक्षो महास्वनः अनादिनो दाता विधाता धातुरुत्तमः। Really now we are doing the English session for Vishnu Sahasranama today. So Purushottama, that is the Shabda, we have seen some meanings for that. So those who are attending both Kannada and English sessions, this will be like a revision of what we covered in the Kannada session. So Purushottama, this Shabda, this word which comes in that sloka, Yogo Yoga Vidam Neta Pradhana Purusheshwara Narasimha Vapushriman Keshava Purushottamaha. So this Purushottama Shabda is all supremacy of the Lord. Every Shabda, actually we can see all the gunas, like, you know, in Harikathamsara there is one saying, Undu gunadul ananta gunagalu undu rupadul pondippavu gunagana sahita. So actually in infinity, any guna can be seen as any other guna also. So how means, for example, one who is infinitely knowledge, having infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom or infinite knowledge, that person automatically, I mean, that entity, whatever entity, will have infinite pleasure because he knows everything, he or she, whatever. So knows everything means knows how to have infinite joy also. So the infinite knowledge automatically will imply infinite joy. The same way, infinite joy will imply infinite power. So why joy and power are two different entities? When they're finite, they're different. But infinite joy, one who is infinitely blissful, the bliss or the joy, the infiniteness can happen only the person is infinitely powerful. Because if the power, if the any power is lacking, suppose it's lacking in power, the bliss will be that much less. So the bliss has to be infinite, that is unrestrained bliss, then the power has to be unrestrained. Same way, if the power is unrestrained, automatically person has infinite power, then the person will have the power to have the infinite bliss. So this way, in infinity, every quality actually converges to one entity. So that's why it's very conceivable to see that there is like something called Paramatma or Supreme Being who is actually having infinite of everything. So that's this Shabda Purushottama, it signifies that the Lord is all supreme in every respect. He is Purusha Uttama. So we split it into two words, Purusha and Uttama. He is all supreme, more powerful or better than everything else and everyone else. And this implies, because he has infinite attributes, that one of the attributes will be his maintenance of the orderliness in the universe. So he maintains the gradations, whatever gradation exists in the universe, the gradation, he makes sure that that gradation is not perturbed. That means something is higher than something else, that is maintained. So this Purushottama Rupa of the Paramatma, we can contemplate by keeping in view all the gods and goddesses. So day after tomorrow, actually, we're doing Lakshmi Vrata or Lakshmi Vrata. So that Lakshmi, supremacy more than rest of the people, but subordinate to Vishnu. This concept can be conceived by seeing that Lakshmi is the controller of the Prakriti, both, you know, like Jada Prakriti, and she is called Chetana Prakriti. So one who controls all the Prakriti and all the Kala and all the Akasha, so all the Bhutas, all the matter, everything, one who controls all of this automatically will be controlling everything that's controlled by all this. So all the Jivarashis who are Gunabaddhas, who are controlled by Trigunas, Sattvarajas, Tamogunas, then the Niyamaka, Sattvarajas, Tamoguna, Abhimani, Lakshmi is superior to all the Jivas who are controlled by these Trigunas. And Paramatma as a Swatantra, so the Lakshmi's all this capability is given to her by Paramatma. So the difference between Paramatma and Lakshmi can be seen in one aspect itself. I mean, there can be other aspects, but one aspect will cover other aspects also. That is the Swatantra. The Swatantra of Paramatma distinguishes him from Lakshmi, who is also having control over Kala and Desha, everything like Paramatma, but still Aswatantra. So the control over all the rest of the things is through the grace of Paramatma. So this Purushottama Shabda, when we think of that, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Kriya. So the name of the Lord as Purushottama, and the Rupa is like he all-pervading, Rupa of the Paramatma as Purushottama. So we can think about that as one who is the pervading force of the Kala, Desha and everything. So space, time and everything he pervades, and he gives that same kind of pervasion to Lakshmi and makes Lakshmi superior to all the rest and maintains the gradation. So after Lakshmi, like the Rujugana, Brahma Vayus are made the greatest, and they are made greater than Garudashesh Rudras. Garudashesh Rudras are made greater than somebody else. So in between Garudashesh Rudra and Brahmavayu, of course, Saraswati Bharati will come. So this gradation is maintained by Paramatma. That concept we can see with this word Purushottama. And we have seen in the last English session the Purusha and Uttama split, and there Purusha, Kshara, Akshara Purusha, Kshara Purushas are all the Jivarashis other than Lakshmi Narayana, and Akshara is Lakshmi alone, and Paramatma is greater than Kshara and Akshara, both Purushas, and he is Purushottama, which we have seen in the Gita Slokas in the 15th Adhyaya. Dvavimau Purushau Loke Ksharasakshrayevata Ksharasarvani Bhutani Kutastokcharvuchyate Uttama Purushastvanyaha Paramatmetkidahutaha. So there we talked about Panchami Vibhakti, Shashti Vibhakti and Satmini, all that. Now, along with that split of Purusha and Uttama, there is another split we can do. The Uttama itself, we can split as Uttu and Tama. So, along with Paramatma maintaining the gradation among all the gods, and between gods and making gods superior to all the Manushyas, and the Manushya superior to all the Pashupakshis. So the gradation is not only among gods, not only among men, not only among Pashupakshis, but across from Chaturmukha Brahma to Truna Paryanta, everywhere the gradation is maintained. And along with that, this Uttamatva, so Purusha Uttama. So Paramatma, by being the Purusha, so what is Purusha? Purishete. So we saw Purusha. So Purusha means Puri Sharire Shete Iti Purushaha. So this body is like a Pura, and Paramatma is in this body. So he is both inside the Jiva and he is inside the Sharira. So inside the Jiva he is there as Aprakruta. Inside the Sharira, which is Prakruta, in that also he is there as Aprakruta only. Paramatma is always Aprakruta. So always Aprakruta Paramatma, when he is inside the body and he controls the body also. He controls the Jivas and he controls the bodies also. And when he controls the body is having the Tamogunatva. Sattvarajas Tamogunas are there in the physical, because the Pancha Bhutatmaka Sharira has Sattvarajas Tamogunas. This Tamoguna, whatever is present in the body, so will that Lord, who is Aprakuta, but still will he have any Samparka or contact, taint by the Tamoguna, which is present inside the body? So that is explained by the word Uttama. Uttama means Uttu plus Tama. Uttu is Udgata. Udgata means beyond or not controlled or exceeding above all, like that. So uttama, that means the Lord is udgataha tamaha. So he is beyond the tamoguna. This tamoguna means this is upalakshanam. That means this is like an example. He is beyond tamoguna means he is beyond sattva rajogunas also. That means all prakruta gunas which are there in the physical body. So he is beyond, above all those gunas. So that's what explained in this expression. Udgataha tamaha tad upalakshita rajogunaha sattva gunascha yasmat saha uttamaha. So uttamaha. He is beyond tamoguna, he is beyond sattva-rajogunas also, that's why he is called uttama. And because his purushaha cha asa uttamasya, his purushaha, he by being inside the body still being above the gunas, that's why he is purushottama. And one of the expressions is a satyam vadanti te kasmat asattvam. There it says asatyam, but it should have been asattvam. Asattvam niratastamaha. He does not have the effects of sattva guna, which is prakruta sattva guna, and rajastama gunas also he does not have. So that nir rajaha, so it becomes niraja, nir rajastamaha. So rajastama gunas are not there in Paramatma, or he is not affected by them. So he is not even touched by them. He has no samparka with sattva rajastama gunas. So that is explained by this term nirajastamaha. Nir raja niraja. Nir means without. Rajaha rajoguna. Tamaha tamoguna. Nirajastamaha means without rajoguna and tamoguna. Asattva means without sattvaguna. So this nir and ra, how it becomes nir means that is like a grammatical rule that rakara and rakara is there. What happens is because that we cannot say ra. So what it happens is that nira, it becomes the same way. Rava is there. Rava is sound. Ravaha, ravam, dhvanihi, shabda. So nir plus rava becomes nirava, silence. So rava is noisy. Nirava means nir rava without sound or without noise is silence. So nirava means silence. So like that nir plus ra becomes nir. So nira. So like that nirajastamaha ityado gunavachakaha. Akarantopi tamas shabdaha prayuktaha. So here uttamaha, so is not made as tamu or anything, it remains as akaranta, akaranta. So it becomes uttamaha means tamoguna atita paramatma. So that is implied by that uttamaha shabda. And not only that, he is by himself uttama, and also he is line idare phone nage. So this uttama, not only Paramatma is udgatatamaha sattva-rajastama guna atita, but he makes Chaturmukha Brahma and Vayudevas also uttamas. Why? Means he says jiva kalabhimanitvat purushaha chaturmukaha vayurva tamat udgataha uttamaha purushaha uttamaha yena saha purushottamaha. So this purusha shabda, as you know, seen purusha sukta and a few places, purusha shabda is applied to Paramatma, and also purusha shabda is applied to chaturmukha brahma vayu also, depending upon the context. So purusha shabda, vachya, brahma, chaturmukha brahma and vayu, the purusha, so the purushaha uttamaha yena saha, like a bahurihi samasa, by whom the purusha is uttama, purusha is made uttama, by whom that one is purushottama, one by whom the purusha is made uttama. So it is like a bahurihi, so that is purushottama. That means Paramatma makes the Purusha, Vachya, Chaturmukha Brahma and Vayu as Purushottama. That's why he is Purushottama. Because Jiva Kala Abhimanis, you know, the Chaturmukha Brahma and Vayu, they are Jiva Kala Abhimanis. And also they do not have Dagdha Patayamana. So they do not have Abhimana for Sharira. Dagdha Patayamana, we call like a burnt cloth. So the burnt cloth is there, somebody wears a burnt cloth. Burnt cloth is there, but it's not there. Like, you know, it gets powdered. Like, you know, it is as if exists, but it is almost like an instant. Like a burnt cloth cannot be worn. I mean, it is there, but it's not there. Like that, the Sharira Abhimanitva is not there for Brahma Vayus. So because of that, they are Udgata Tamo Guna does not have effects on them. So sattva guna abhimanitva is there to, you know, like, you know, for them to the extent that they are unaffected by tamoguna. So they are made uttamaha. That means udgata tamaha. Tamoguna prabhava is not there on chaturmukha brahmand vayu. That's why it's called uttama. So purushaha uttamaha yena saha. So same way we can also think about purushaha means purushaha. Puru Brahma, you know, Purusha Shabda, it can be taken as Puru means Brahma. Puru Shaha, Shaha means Shaha, Sa, you know, Sa becomes Shaha because of Rakara. Puru plus Sa becomes Purusha. So that Sa is from the Dhatu Sru, Sru Gatav. Sa Sarati, Sru Sarati. Sarati means Gati, Jnana, Janati. So Purushaha means those who know about the Brahma, Puru Purna Brahma. All complete Paramatma is called Puru, and those who have a knowledge, not a complete knowledge, but to their own ability, whatever. So, Tat Sarati Janati Iti Purushaha, one who knows about the Brahma is Purusha. That means Purushaha means Brahmajnani. Purushaha Brahmajnaninaha. So, Purushaha Udgataha Tamat. Athava Purushaha Udgataha Tamat. A Brahmajnani is made, he is made to conquer the tamoguna, or he is made to be extricated from the effects of tamoguna, and because of the grace of Paramatma. And also sattva rajas tamogunas also Paramatma, that means when they are granted the moksha, Paramatma makes them free from sattva rajas tamogunas because they are brahmajnanis. So here also bahuvrihi samasa Brahmajnani udgataha tamat yasmat saha purushottamaha. Upalakshanataya, by taking the example of the tamoguna, sattva rajas tamogunas also, so rajas sattvabhyam uttamaha. So sattva rajas tamogunaihi uttamaha udgata tamaha brahmajnani yena saha purushottamaha. One by whose grace the brahmajnani is made to be free from sattva rajas tamogunas, that's why his Paramatma is called Purushottama. So this is another meaning for Purushottama. And after saying that, I would like to talk about this kshara akshara, which we talked about in Gita sloka. There, what are the other schools, the two major schools talk about? Dvayamo purushau loke ksharascha akshayavacha. We interpret it as kshara means all the jivarashis other than Lakshmi. Akshara means Lakshmi. And kshara akshara purushas, these two. And one who is greater than these two is Purushottama. That interpretation we give. So for kshara and akshara, our interpretation is kshara is all the jivarashis other than Lakshmi, and akshara is Lakshmi. And we can get a doubt, you know, like, you know, this is so direct meaning. How can other schools not take a hint from them? Why do they miss such a big, important, direct thing? So this doubt comes to our mind. And the answer for that is, in Advaita, the kshara purusha is taken as the accumulation of all the actions, the pile of actions, all the entire set of actions in the world, the karya rashi they call, that means all the actions in the world, every action that is performed by anybody, that action, the set of actions is called kshara, kshara purusha. Kshara purusha means any action. You take the collection of all the actions is kshara purusha, and akshara purusha is the maya shakti. The Maya Shakti of Paramatma is basically his power of enchantment. Paramatma's power of enchantment, Maya Shakti, is taken as Akshara Purusha. And Paramatma is better than one, all the Akshara Purusha, which is the collection of all the actions, and Akshara Purusha, which is the enchantment power of Paramatma. So actually they distinguish between the enchantment Shakti of Paramatma and Paramatma, which itself is not right, because Paramatma and Paramatma's power, Shakti, cannot be different from each other. So what they do is, they say these are the Kshara and Akshara Purushas, Kshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha, and Paramatma is greater than that. So there are multiple problems with that, because one is the Kshara Purusha. Purusha means something that has a life. So the entire collection of actions is a lifeless entity, jada. So how can the collection of all the actions be called Akshara Purusha? It doesn't make sense. And then Akshara Purusha is the enchantment power of Paramatma, is non-different from Paramatma himself. He is greater than his power means that also doesn't make any sense. First of all, if they say enchantment power is different from Paramatma and a Jada entity, then a Jada entity cannot be represented by Akshara Purusha name. And if they say, oh, no, it's not a Jada entity, but it is a sentient, the Paramatma Chaitanya Shakti, Akshara Purusha of Paramatma is the enchantment power as the Chaitanya, the sentient Akshara Purusha, then that is non-different from Paramatma. So there is a problem either way for them. So the Advaita interpretation is will have a lot of difficulties with this kind of interpretation. And Vishishta Advaita interpretation is better than the Advaita interpretation, but still it has a problems. Their interpretation is Kshara Purusha means only the jivas in the bondage. Akshara Purusha means all the Mukta jivas, including Lakshmi. Lakshmi is Nitya Mukta, and others who went for moksha, they are all Akshara Purushas. And there is two problems with this. One is the same jiva, when it is bandhana, it is Akshara Purusha. When it goes to moksha, it becomes Akshara Purusha. That means it is between the two categories, it is changing. So you have to categorize a particular jiva as Akshara Purusha or Akshara Purusha. And when for some time it is Akshara Purusha, for some time it is Akshara Purusha, means doesn't make, there is no, it's not a proper division at all. Division has to be at all times, that should satisfy. So Akshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha, same jiva cannot be at one point Akshara Purusha and another point Akshara Purusha, is not proper. And there is no differentiation. The second problem is there is no distinction between the Nitya Mukta Lakshmi and the others who went to Mukta after being in Bandha for some time. There is no differentiation. So Nitya Mukta Lakshmi is put in the same category of all the rest of the people who had all the bandha and then went to moksha. So this is second problem. So that's why the Vishishtadvaita interpretation is also not right. So the Acharya Madhva interpretation only, Akshara Purushas are all the jivas other than Lakshmi. Akshara Purusha is Lakshmi alone, and that interpretation alone is the correct interpretation. And when this objection is raised, the Advaitins, they argue, no, what we do is like, Karya Rashi Jada, but we give the Purushabda for that because all the car actions, they take place only, action is happening is because of some Chaitanya. When a Chaitanya does something, that only we call an action. A Jada does something, we don't call it as an action, because you do open something with a screwdriver, you don't say screwdriver is doing an action. Only the person who uses a screwdriver is doing the action. So the action is always attributed to Chaitanya only. So Kshara Purusha Karya Rashi is called Kshara Purusha. The Purusha Shabda is there because it is automatically with respect to some sentient being only. Then that problem with that interpretation is, so you are saying because the Karya Rashi is non-different or dependent upon the Chaitanya Shaktis, whoever are doing actions, we see non-difference between them. That's why you call Kshara Purusha as the action, collection of all the actions. And if you see non-difference, then you should call all the Chaitanyas also as Kshara Purushas, because you are seeing non-difference between the set of actions and all the sentient beings, then you might as well call all the sentient beings as Kshara Purushas. So if you see the difference, then you are calling a Jada. If you don't see the difference and you call they are both the same, then you should call all the Chaitanyas as Kshara Purusha. So either way they'll end up in a problem. So this kind of difficulties they arise. So the Aikya Rupa that they do is not going to resolve the issue. It makes the issue actually more complex. So that's why their interpretation is not acceptable. So with this understanding, our Acharya Madhva interpretation alone is right. We understand that. So I'll stop here. And if any questions are there, you can feel free to